All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we are looking at Christ's redeeming work on the cross, which recognizes that man lost their absolute innocence and righteousness, if you will, which was in the form of, reflected in the form of their human spirit in the garden, disobedience to God. God created, formed man out of dust, where our bodies are made out of sophisticated dust. And then he breathed into man the breath of lives, nushama, kayim, in the plural, soul and human spirit life. Man became a living being. And when man disobeyed God, they lost that righteousness that God bestowed upon them and gave them. And part of Christ's work on the cross was to reverse that situation, and he did so by taking his own human spirit, his own token of plus R, and forfeiting it during the time and period of which he was bearing sins on the cross, dying spiritually on the cross, paying God for our indebtedness. And the doctrine of kinsman redeemer points to this principle as is understood in the Old Testament. In order to be a redeemer, one had to be a free man in and of themselves to redeem a slave, one who's been enslaved due to indebtedness. Only a free person could pay their debt and release them from their situation in that regards. And out of humanity, the entire stock of humanity, Jesus Christ is the only truly free person born in this world, qualified to be the redeemer of mankind. And that's where we is at here. Point 57, set point K, Isaiah 54, 5 and 8. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of armies. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. Verse 8, in an outburst of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting loving kindness I will have compassion on you, Zion, says the Lord your Redeemer. Your Redeemer. The free man. Isaiah 60, 16, in terms of Israel, their redemption. You also will suck the milk of nations, will suck the breast of kings, and I will. Then you will know that I, the Lord, and your Savior, and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. They're denoting the blessing of the especially the second advent millennium period of Israel. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Puts it into our language of understanding the righteousness necessary, the token of righteousness, absolute righteousness necessary to be made to God on our behalf. He, God the Father, made him, Christ, who knew no sin, innocent. Obviously, he possessed plus R to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He became our substitute and gave up his righteousness, his human spirit, so that we could be joined with his human spirit in terms of redemption, as language otherwise points to Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law is a curse because it proves that we're sinful creatures. Having come a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That we're minus R in our own state of being. And Christ himself became a curse. He became minus R. See? Himself, he died spiritually. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth a son born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Our spiritual status as family member is through the legal principle of adoption. God has one naturally born son, that's Jesus Christ. But we have all the privileges, the same privileges as a natural born son does in terms of our own relationship in God's family. Titus 2, 13 and 14. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us through saving faith, his work on the cross, from every lawless deed, and purify for himself a special people, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. All right, 58. Paul then equates Jesus' redeeming work with the forgiveness of sins. His redemption equals forgiveness of sins. Matthew 26, 28. For this is the blood of my covenant here. Again, the Lord's table in view, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. The blood of the covenant looks at his redeeming work on the cross, just as we have dealt with the spiritual death he underwent. So here in our verse, complementing redemption, our now, forgiveness, in quotes here, the Greek ho aphesis, aphesis, denotes a setting free or pardon from guilt or retribution. Redemption looks at setting free from being enslaved due to indebtedness. So does forgiveness. It has that nuance of being set free from retribution, condemnation, guilt, to be pardoned. B, personal sins are the object of the pardon. Ephesians 1, 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, spiritual death, the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins, violating God's will for our lives according to the riches of his grace. So Christ on the cross, as he redeemed us, he took on the penalty of judgment for the sins of mankind. Again, to have it clear in your thinking, people don't die and go to hell because of their personal sins. Jesus Christ took care of that on the cross. That's the irony of the world. Everybody's all concerned about their sins and being good to try to get into heaven. Jesus Christ took care of that. There's only one sin that he could not take care of, and that's the sin of unbelief, because that depends upon our own free will to believe in him for salvation. That's what condemns men to hell. See, saints are pardoned from the eternal penalty for sin. Obviously, John 3:16 brings that out. And if my Bible lasts till the rapture, I'll be surprised. Falling apart. For God so loved the world that He gave His uniquely begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, that He might judge the world, that the world should be saved through Him. The mission of the first advent was not for political judgment. It is for spiritual deliverance of the world first and foremost. 10:9, John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, delivered, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Under the parable of the shepherd and the sheepfold, he is the good shepherd. He's also the door in the parable to enter in his saving faith. In Romans 5:15, but the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, that is Adam, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The only exception, as we have stated, is one sin that remains unresolved as consequence to the human race, that's the sin of unbelief. John 16:9. Where unbelief is said to be a sin, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. In the gospel message, of which God the Holy Spirit is responsible to support and provide in that way. Compare Mark 3:29. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Blasphemy is simply calling God a liar. And to reject the gospel message, remaining in unbelief, it in essence, in reality, says, I don't need salvation, God's a liar. God, the Holy Spirit, is a liar. See, blasphemy of the Spirit, not knowing the doctrine, you can sit there and wonder your whole life, I hope I haven't done that sin. But now you know the doctrine. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit in the context in which we are looking at. Because you've accepted that message. Yes, I need salvation. Forgiveness of sins is a result of redemption, effectuating the transfer from the domain of darkness to the heavenly kingdom and the inheritance it offers. So it's the result of redemption, forgiveness of sins. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes, Jesus' words, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the domain of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. correlating forgiveness of sins of deliverance from the domain of darkness through the redeeming process. So F, a quote, new birth, end quote, also known as regeneration. A new birth certificate validates the spiritual citizenship accredited to the believer. What is born of spirit is spirit, John 3:5. We're born again. When you come to saving faith, you are given a human spirit, created righteousness and devotion to the truth. It's set apart for that, protected by God the Holy Spirit in terms of any contamination or corruption otherwise, as it may come through the flesh. Probably interfaces with our soul in some fashion. G, forgiveness of sins, or higher brainstem. G, forgiveness of sins, that phrase, is the foundation upon which a believer attains a state spiritually conducive to a heavenly kingdom. So the redeeming, made possible by Christ, and forgiveness of sins is what qualifies us to be citizens of this kingdom that is spiritual in nature and heavenly. It demands forgiveness of sins. So 59, in to bring about the aspect of these two verses as they are applied apologetically towards false teachers in terms of what they may state is necessary for spirituality. Hence, if the forgiveness of sins, point 59, is necessary to become a citizen, then it is a required mechanic necessary to fulfill the duties governing the kingdom. Hence, 1 John 1:9. Why experientially? If we're going to operate in the realm of this kingdom appropriately before God in action with honor, we must operate under terms of making sure that we have been forgiven of any sins. That's why we're given the rebound technique in prayer or confession in terms of our lives. And this puts us in a state of spirituality. This in light of anybody else that tells you that you've got to do all these other things in the world to be spiritual, experientially. All it demands is being filled with God the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, you've got to know doctrine to stay there and to recognize when it's necessary to rebound and all these other things. We understand that. But either you're in a state of spirituality or you're in a state of carnality. And you've been forgiven of sins in our position of Christ. Eternally, our sins are forgiven, and we have a new spiritual condition that's going to take us right into the eternal state. In relationship with God, experientially then, it follows that to be spiritual experientially in our Christian walk, then the only thing necessary is to deal with your personal sin in life experientially before God through the rebound technique. And hence, applying Bible doctrine, etc., is all then with action with honor. You don't have to go through a rigmarole, genuflecting, and all these other things, the sign of the cross, the Hail Marys, whatever. Feel sorry. You don't have to emote over your sins. All you got to do is be intellectually honest before God at all times and recognize when you do sin and acknowledge that to God. Name it, cite it, acknowledge it. Homologeo in the Greek has no emotional attachment in terms of that term. It's just intellectual honesty. The Thundies, well, you got to do it with your heart. My heart pumps blood. You're going to have to find another part of my anatomy to make this work. And it's called intellectual honesty. It's with your thinking, with your mind. See, but that is the condition of the lukewarm church. Nothing but a bunch of modeling emotional people that run on their emotions, and it's how they feel is essentially how they think they are in regards to their own spirituality and things of that nature. We see through that. So, anyway, as I said, I'm cutting this class short. We've got to go and pick up the food for our picnic. so that nobody has to miss any class, and the fact is it's going to take about an hour to get all that together. We're going to go ahead and cut short, and the people responsible can run and do their thing, make their application. If you'd like to make application, help him set up desk chairs and things of that nature. See Eric, Dustin's one of the other deacons if you want, or just jump in and do it. Either way, hopefully we'll have good fellowship. I know God's with us because we got sunshine, blue skies, and warm temperatures, and that's what your pastor always prays for, generally speaking. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, lighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.